Welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews. I am your host, Chris Lukianenko, and I scour this big brand land of ours, looking under fermenters and behind mash tuns to find the best beer stories to share with you. The Beer Healer Interviews is now available on all major podcast services. If you like the show and want to help out, can I ask you to simply rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or your preferred podcast service? Just leave a few words and a rating and the podcast gods will do the rest. By doing this, you'll help others to discover the show more easily and hopefully get more people interested in this great industry that we call craft beer. I'm not sure what fascinates me about the West Australian beer scene. I mean, we couldn't be further apart, and I haven't had the pleasure of trying many of the beers coming from the breweries over there, but I still chase them to jump onto the podcast and tell their story. Case in point, Cheeky Monkey Brewing Co. These guys have been around for quite a few years and have an interesting story, and I've been pestering them for a little while to jump on, and this week, they relented. I was drinking a Cheeky Monkey Pale Ale a few weeks ago and was looking at the bright blue can in my hands that looks nothing like the original cans that the guys released. And in fact, it's a second or maybe third brand refresh for the brewery. And I thought to myself, you know what? These guys have got a story to tell. So, to tell me all about their history, their future, and the situation they currently find themselves in, welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews, Cheeky Monkey Head of Brewing Operations, Brett Newman.
G'day, Chris. How are you?
Welcome aboard, mate. Just cracked my beer. This is the first time I've recorded an interview at Friday night beer time, so it's perfect.
Good timing. I'm glad that you spoke about our blue cans because I've just cracked into one of those myself.
Sounds good. I've got a local Spotty Dog Portland Pale Ale tonight, so it's going to go down quite well.
Fantastic.
Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to hearing your story, mate, and I want to take a little bit of a break from the madness that the world's currently facing, but look, before we get into it, I just want to give a huge shout out to the members of the Facebook group called the Southwest Craft Beer Bogans, who support the breweries of the Margaret River and the surrounds, which of course, where Cheeky Monkey is. I'm sure you're aware of them, mate.
Certainly are. Yeah, we did a collaboration brew with them late last year, actually. So, yeah, know the guys.
Great group of people, and they allow me to post my podcast announcements each time, so I do appreciate it. They're a great bunch of people. So, but anyway, look, let's talk about you. You're now head of brewing operations. But you've kicked around the WA beer scene for a little while, haven't you? Tell us a bit about your background.
I've been brewing probably coming up 10 years now.
Oh, wow.
Kind of, I wouldn't say I fell into it. I went in search of a new career path, something that was going to excite me and, you know, something I could be really passionate about. I had a background in cleaning cars and I happen to be...
That sounds like a natural progression from one to the other.
You know what? It does sound really weird, but the two things aren't as far apart as they actually are because...
Cleaning.
Cleaning, number one. And process, right? Like it's... There was a process to cleaning cars and there's a process to making beer. So they're not as far removed as they actually originally seem. But, yeah, it was... I had a conversation with Jeremy Good at Quarrumup Brewing Co. And, you know... drinking his beers, which are fantastic, and having a chat. And I said, oh, I reckon I could get into this brewing gig. And he's like, yeah, well, you don't mind cleaning, so, you know, you're 99% there. So that was sort of where it started. I got my first gig. I literally just sent my email resume out to every brewery that I could find. And I was really fortunate to get the opportunity to join the Old Brewery, which is a brew pub. Situated in the old Swan Brewery building down on the Swan River.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yep.
So I worked there with a great brewer called Mark Riley, and that got me on my path. And then I went on and studied the postgrad diploma at ECU under the very talented Hugh Dunn. It all sort of kicked off from there. Spent 6 years with Little Creatures. Worked everything
from grounding.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Worked everything from the packaging line through to innovation for the company nationally. So, yeah.
Nice work. And you've been with Cheeky Monkey for a year or so now. I was interested. Like, I mean, Cheeky Monkey's been around for quite a while now. Like, is it going on 8 or 9 years or something like
that?
And I'm assuming that there's a well-established culture at the brewery, and I was just wondering, how did they immerse you as a new guy into their way of doing things?
I guess in that respect, I joined the business right on the point at which they were making a big change. You know, it went from the brew pub scenario that they had on Caves Road in Margaret River, and then built this new production brewery in Vass. So I guess, look, you know, we have, you know, when you change from, I guess, something that is quite small into something that has bigger aspirations, the culture needs to change along with it. So I guess I came along at a time where things were going to change anyway, right? So, I guess fitting in with the culture of the business really hasn't been too much of a stretch.
I mean, coming from Lion, where, or Little Creatures Lion, where, you know, culture is a big part of what they believe in, how was it making the change? Did you bring across any of the 10 behaviours that add value to Cheeky Monkey?
the BTAS,
BTAS.
I think in all honesty, I probably have tried to bring some of that across.
They're good. They're good behaviours, absolutely.
They really are. Look, they're you know, how you utilise those things and how much of that, I guess, that corporateness you put on it is up to whoever's trying to implement them, I suppose. But they are good groundings, and they do make a lot of sense. So, yeah, I would say I've probably tried to bring as much of that as I can across, but at the same time being very conscious of the fact that, you know, you can't just come in and just change everything. You know, you've got to try and keep some of the stuff that's withstanding. And I think that that's important, particularly in a smaller business as well, to try and keep that grounding there.
It's funny, this week I was in a meeting for work, and so we're a global software company, and we've got set up in Denmark. And one of the Danish guys got onto the microphone on this all hands meeting and sort of started talking about, and I kid you not, his words were, "I need you to seek to understand before being understood." I started pissing myself.
Absolutely. One of the key
BTABs.
Ones. Yeah. Well, you know that. I think Lion have actually dropped that down to about 6 BTABs now. So, they've streamlined it.
I reckon even up until a couple of years ago, I still probably could have pumped out about 6 or 7 of them off by heart.
Absolutely.
you look back through the Cheeky Monkey history, there's some cool stories, you know, probably none better than the whole thing around the old lady with the winery that wanted to, you know, stop you from getting started because her yeast was going to get infected or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. What was there a bit of an element of storytelling that, you know, some of the old, because it is literally, it was friends and family that started the original and also invested into the second part as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did the friends and family get around and have a beer with you and welcome you in and tell you a story about the past?
Not so much. I mean, I guess I was lucky because when I started in the brewing game, I actually already knew Jared Proudfoot, Red from
Red.
Pirate Life.
Yeah,
flavor.
Okay, yeah.
So, yep. Yeah, so he was the original Cheeky Monkey brewer down there. So,
yep.
I kind of knew the background, and, you know, I was there on the opening day, and
oh, nice.
I kind of knew, I guess, the ins and outs of what was happening anyway. So I'm not entirely sure whether Brent the MD actually knows any of that actually, but there wasn't any fanfare or anything like that. There wasn't any. It was you know, here's the brewery and crack on and make some great beer for us.
here's one of each of our beers. Go and try them. Tell us
exactly
what you think.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's funny that you mention Red, because I was just wondering whether, you know, now that Cheeky Monkey's taking that next step and becoming bigger, whether maybe they might be the next great West Australian brewery that feeds the rest of the craft beer market. You know, people will say, "I got my start at Cheeky Monkey." Have there been a few people other than Red that have sort of moved on to other places?
Who have you got? Lex Poulsen.
Yep.
He's moved into the distilling game now, but you know, another great brewing talent. Of course, we've got Ross Turlick, who's now head brewer at Rocky Ridge. So,
yep.
Yeah. So, I guess, look, that is definitely my aim. I would love nothing more than to create, I guess, the kind of brewing environment that I was lucky to develop my career in somewhere like Little Creatures, you know, and to try and produce something like that in the Southwest that gave people a brewery that they aspire to brew at. Ultimately what I'd love to create.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool. I was having a beer with Chris Sheen a couple of years ago at the Malt Shovel, and we went through, they've actually got it like a little plaque on the wall sort of thing. Well, actually, it's a spreadsheet that's printed in and put into a frame. But of everybody who's left Malt Shovel and gone to elsewhere, and there's some amazing brewing talent that has now, you know, gone and started their own thing, and you know, then they pay it forward, and then they pay it forward. I love that idea, and that was one of the first things I thought of when you talked about Cheeky Monkey expanding. I thought maybe that could be another great WA brewery that does that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the aim. That's the not the finishing line, but that's the near target to hit. You know, is to try and build something like that.
And so now you're looking after brewing operations. You know it's going to be a big sort of deal when you're not just head brewer anymore. You're looking after brewing operations, and I guess that's a bit of a new era that you're heading up for the place. So I'm just wondering what kind of changes have come around in the last sort of year or so that will basically be setting the place up for the future?
I think this, you know, when you make that step from, like I said before, a smaller brew pub type operation where you can, I guess, be a little bit more fluid with things, moving into a production brewery where your goal is to make consistently great beer. And I think in that respect, that the biggest change has been around process and about quality and tracking and you know, just taking control really of all of our processes. So that, you know, I know I'm sure if you've asked the team of brewers that we've got down there, I can be a bit of a pain in the ass on that stuff and a bit of a stickler for the rules, but I truly believe that ultimately that's what makes really great consistent beer. And if you can measure yourself against, you know, a set of guidelines, then you've got every opportunity to improve everything that you do.
So what's the core range of beers you're settling on, you know, moving forward?
Well, that's this year has been, we're actually right in the middle of quite a substantial pivot. You know, the brewery opened at Vass, there was a bit of a direction that we thought we were going to go in, which was going to be a little bit more, I don't really like this term, but mainstream, I guess, you know, making beers a little bit more approachable.
Yep.
Open our portfolio beers up to a wider group of people. And what we've found is that I wouldn't say it didn't work, but I think deep down within the business, I think we knew that wasn't really what was going to excite us.
Did you lose your identity a little bit? Because
I think a little bit older cans
and stuff, and it was a little bit sort of raw, a little bit scrappier and that sort of thing. And all of a sudden you've got this really sort of, you know, they look like they belong in a Dan Murphy's type of can, which is beautifully presented, a great looking brand and that sort of thing. And like that's what I was looking at. I was like, oh, I can see where they're going with this thing, but you want to try and still retain that little bit of, well, I don't want to use the word cheeky, but you know, that little bit of raw energy that might have come from the past.
Yeah, look, the change in the packaging was definitely to present a more professional look.
Yep.
You know, that's exactly what we're setting out to achieve is to create a very high standard professional brewing outfit, you know, and the packaging is part of that. So I think really what it came down to was the actual liquid that was in that packaging. And, you know, was it exciting us? You know, look, if we can't get excited about this, how are we going to tell this story? How are we going to get it out there and really give ourselves every opportunity to sell this and back it? So I think, you know, that was kind of where the change started coming around. It's like, okay, look, you know, perhaps that was a great direction that we thought was going to be the way to go. But in essence, I think it naturally started pulling back the other way to something that was more in line with what we all really wanted to produce. So,
and what is that now? Or what is that going to be?
What is it in terms of the lineup?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to stick with our West Coast IPA because it's an absolute firm favourite. And, you know, we've got a very loyal following with that beer and we all love it. We're going to continue with our pale ale. This variation of the pale ale, which we've been brewing this now for, I've got to say, probably about 8 months now, I think.
Yep.
It took us back to what we really wanted to, our expression of the pale ale style and what it meant to be a Cheeky Monkey pale ale was to give it that extraordinary effect. And so we've gone down a path of a double dry hop process, which has really lifted that sort of juicy hop characteristic.
That, that was Mosaic from memory, was it?
Yeah, Mosaic, yeah. Citra, yeah.
Oh, and Citra, yeah, nice combo, yeah, yeah.
So, and then we've got, we've still got a little bit of fine tuning to do with this, but we, I guess where we landed on and the work that we've done in the big, the first part of this year has been really about what's our core identity? What are our core beliefs? What do we really believe in? Because this is what will guide us in determining what we want out of our beers. And in terms of the product part, we settled on extraordinary beer. So, It's about taking beer and, you know, we've got a pale ale, but look, let's take it that next level. Let's make it extraordinary. Let's give it the double dry hop treatment, you know, so it doesn't become, nice. It doesn't get lost in amongst all those other pale ales that are out there. So
yeah, yeah, fair enough.
So we're looking at bringing in to sit alongside our West Coast IPA. We're looking at bringing on an East Coast IPA. So it'll be hazy.
Ooh, look out. Nice.
A nice hazy boy. We've been working really hard at this one, and we currently have in market as limited releases what we're calling our Surf Break series. So we're doing a whole bunch of experimentation with hazy beers.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, nice.
And this is all feeding into what will ultimately become our core range product.
Yep.
We're also going to start playing with a core range sour beer.
Wow,
which will
really?
Likely sit, yeah, which will, you know, I was initially a little bit dubious. you know, I kind of, but once we, like I said, when we go back to that extraordinary beer, it's like, okay, I can see where this fits now, because it's, you know, we're going to go for it like a Gozer style, but we're going to tweak it. I'm not going to go fully into it, but we are going to throw something else a little bit different in there.
Well, I feel like that's a really great play for two reasons. Like, I mean, one, as a core range beer, that's awesome. But I also really believe, because of my own experiences with my wife, that something like that is a really great way to introduce more females to beer as well. Because I totally believe that they have got this from, you know, when they, well, of my generation in my 40s, I think especially because they've drunk wine and champagne for so many years, you give them a beer and they're like, oh, what's that? But that style of having a sour or whatever is somewhere in the middle there that they're not offended by. And I know my wife, she's drunk, you know, beers at when we've been away overseas and stuff with, you know, fruited sours that have been aged in oak barrels. And she's like, oh, this reminds me of wine and I bloody love it. So I think it's a really, really smart way to go.
Yeah, I think it's that acidity level. It's something familiar. It hits the palate in the same sort of way, and then they're like, okay, I can get around this. I don't have this. I mean, my partner Jo's a classic because I'll give her a beer, and I think she's really going to like this one. It's really upfront, fruity, and it's really great. And then she'll drink it, and the smile will come on her face, and then she'll pull that face when the bitterness hits her. And it's always the same thing, you know. So I think with the sour beers, you don't have that, right? You've got the acidity there that's sort of, I guess, balancing out the sweetness that you've got in the beer, but it doesn't generally have that bitter kick at the end. So I think that's why that has that appeal.
Yeah. Okay, so you've got East Coast, West Coast, pale ale, sour. Please tell me you're going to keep the lager.
I think,
don't you dare!
Look, I think we will.
I love your lager. I do.
It may be something that might sit in a draft only option.
Oh yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, because it is a favourite down at the venues. And look, I love brewing it because I, you know, the technical nuances of lagers are, you know, if it's the kind of thing that I nerd out on as a brewer. And for me, I think my pinnacle, you know, the bit where I actually feel like, yeah, I've become a brewer will be that day where I can brew the, you know, the perfect lager. So
yeah. I'm totally with you there. There's something great about just a very simple and I say simple because it tastes simple, but to get it to that point is a lot of work. And yeah, I'd be Devo if you got rid of that one.
I think, you know, we're sort of, like I said, this hasn't all been formalized. I mean, I know what I keep saying. I mean, I look at production schedules and I go, this is great. We're adding in this product, but I think we've got to delete a couple because otherwise we're never going to make them all.
That's it, isn't it? And tell me, is the mid staying? Because that's a record too.
The mid probably will stay, I would dare say, because you know you need to have that mid strength option. It's
you need that for us 40-year-old blokes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it probably still needs a little bit of work. You know, I think that's the nature of a brewing beer, right? You're always tweaking as much as you can. I know I've made comments around the brewery that the day that I feel that we've made, you know, perfected all our beers will be the day that I hang up my brewing boots and say that's job done.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, look, I think it does have a place just because, you know, that mid-strength offering is key. It's a category of beer that seems to just continue to grow. The more opportunity, you know, the more varieties that get out there, and the more breweries explore with how they can produce these mid to low strength ABV beers, it just keeps growing and growing.
Yeah, you certainly got the weather over that way for it too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
absolutely. And what about any specialties to throw into the mix, like a regular sort of release pattern for?
Yeah, we're going to continue to do our winter releases of Silverback. The big Russian Imperial Stout.
Yep.
We've just released the Imperial Monk, which is it has had a bit of a shake up this year. We've I guess moved it a bit further away from a big red ale to more of a red IPA.
Okay.
Which I think is hitting the mark. That literally only released, I think, a week and a half ago. So
yeah, right. Yeah.
But that, I dare say that will stick around because we all love brewing that one.
Yeah, nice.
Not drinking it. and our double IPA too, which will generally have a couple of iterations during the year.
Yeah. Okay.
So they'll be nice. Those sort of seasonal releases, sort of a semi permanent sort of product,
and,
I guess. Yeah.
And I ask this sort of tongue in cheek a bit. Are you guys going to be maybe Australia's hard seltzer kings after your release of the Great White just recently?
I mean, let's hope so.
was the name chosen particularly to sort of relate to White Claw at all?
I think it's more about relating to the fact that it's just a clear product. Like, you know, I guess white isn't exactly clear, but it's that plainness, you know, when you look at, when you pour that out, it's just clear. It's perfectly clear. It's, you know, if you're not careful, you could mistake it for your sparkling water that you've got by your bed. No. it was more a play into that. Not necessarily directly related to White Claw.
I saw that. I thought, I wonder if someone's trying to be a little smart ass there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Actually, it wasn't on my to do list, that one. So
you know, these bloody marketing types.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So with this whole change and, you know, the new additions and all that sort of stuff, is that really going to help you then sort of come back across to the East Coast with your beers a bit more? Because I know that was sort of part of the plan, wasn't it, with the whole new brewery?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was just to start spreading the wings a bit and traveling a bit further afield and trying to push into new markets. Look, let's hope so. Let's hope it does open up a few more avenues for us. If we can produce beers that I guess aren't already being produced per se, you know, if we can try and find those niches in the market where we can, hopefully we can push into these newer markets.
Yeah. And of course, Corona, fuck, damn it. There I go.
You said it.
I've used the C word. Damn it. I'm really trying to avoid that at the moment with this podcast, but I guess as soon as I have, why don't we switch gears to something that sort of is kind of related to that. Let's talk about, yes, the social media campaign that you guys have launched, which is Don't Drink Alone. You guys tagged me to post this week and I've paid it forward tonight. fill us in on the details around how that sort of relates to, in part, to what's going on in the world with coronavirus.
Well, I guess this is about opening up those communication channels that we're sorely missing at the moment. I know there was some research done into the mental health benefits of going down to your local pub with meeting up with your friends and having a beer.
Yep.
And you know, with the pubs and the bars and everything shut down, that no longer becomes an option. So The campaign was really about, and it was actually started by some local crafty retailers.
In
Perth, in the WA scene. I think it actually started with the guys at Liquor Barons in Bull Creek. So shout out to Simon and the crew out there. And it was a bit of a, you know, let's just spread this around just to sort of check in and make sure that, you know, everyone's doing okay. Open up the, you know, things like FaceTime and Zoom chat and all that sort of stuff to give people, you know, or just to make them aware that there is another option to being able to catch up with your mates and enjoy that beer and, it's, you know, give each other a virtual cheers.
Yeah. This is, tonight will be the third week in a row that myself and about 8 or 9 mates have caught up over a beer, seen each other, all of us all together at one time. We probably haven't done it since someone's 40th birthday or something like that. So we're all in on this. We've been having some great nights. I've had a couple of sore heads on Saturday mornings. Yeah. That sort of thing, but, you know, and look, I know the program you're doing, I love it. I think it's great. I know it's an all-inclusive one, but, you know, the stats around depression and suicide in men that are around my age are pretty confronting. So, from my perspective, I applaud you guys for having a crack at this. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, I've speaking very openly, I've had my own touches with things like depression and anxiety and stuff.
Yep.
I've gone out of my way basically to try and get help with that. I think that this is just, you know, being able to just talk about things with your mates, like it doesn't have to get too serious and heavy, but just having an opportunity just to chat about whatever is nothing but a good thing, I think.
No, absolutely. I think the first week that we did it, my best mate John said he hasn't laughed that hard in so long. You know, we were just basically bagging each other out, talking shit and reliving times when we were at college in our old days. And it was just amazing. It felt to me like that. What was that Bruce Springsteen song, Glory Days? It was a bit like that. but, you know, it is to be able to have that, it's pretty powerful. So, yeah, I take my hat off to you guys. Thanks for doing this. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And, look, I love the fact that you are so committed to this, that you've had this new can come out with the hashtag on it and everything. I think it's fantastic. But I've got to ask. So with this whole chat around the beers that we were talking about before, you had a session ale previously.
Yep.
Is that session ale the same one that's in the can now, or have you reworked it? Because you look at the two beers on the website, they're pretty similar.
Yeah. No, it actually is. It actually is. And full disclosure on this, it's it was our session ale, but it was the first time that we'd put that beer into a can, and it was one of those things where we had to make this decision about what do we do with this beer? And it just seemed like the right time because we basically packaged this into silver bullets and we had it sitting there and we were labels done up. And it was, I guess it came about, the timing was, I guess, perfect in a weird way, but it basically gave us an opportunity to put that beer out in a different format and see how it performed.
Yep.
But also to be able to link that in with this campaign.
Yeah.
And see what the results are, really.
Yeah, nice. So if it's successful, does that can with that label, with that hashtag stay or?
Don't know the answer to that question. Don't know where that fits in with everything else. I dare say this will be, you know, probably be a one-off because the other thing that we've done with that particular release was make it a virtually profit-free release.
Okay.
So we offered this up at a, you know, almost a cost price.
Yep.
So, that was the other thing, you know, it's like we've got this stock here. How can we present something to the retailers and I guess support them, but also the consumer as well? You know, give them a value proposition that they can take home and enjoy.
Yeah, nice. No, that's good. Well, you guys certainly aren't sitting on your hands at the moment. I noticed this week or last week, whenever it was, you got this other really cool local sort of promo running. Now it's like Your Beer Here, I think it was. What's that all about?
So that's a little promo we're running, a little bit of a competition. It's a great prize. We want to give someone the opportunity to
go brew.
Yeah, absolutely. From word go, from concept all the way through to market, you know, and it's input into labeling and naming and all that sort of stuff.
Well, so that's awesome. It's a bit of a money can't buy experience. There's an old line.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Not only get to come down and help us brew the beer, but we're going to put them up in the house down on the Kays Road property. And
oh, hello, yeah, nice.
A bit of a good time and everything like that. It'll be a pretty sweet prize, and just an opportunity to give someone the full Cheeky Monkey experience. Yeah,
nice. That sounds cool. Look, we've beaten around the bush a bit today. Skirted around the edges of this whole coronavirus thing and effect on people, because I'm trying to avoid making it the focus of these episodes if possible. But yeah, how are you guys going there at Cheeky with everything?
It's tough. Like every other brewery in the world, I suppose, we're all just trying to get through this. It's kind of weird. Like, I feel like I'm busier than I've ever been. We're sort of frantically trying to push, as much volume as we can into packaging to try and make up for what we're missing from our draft sales.
Yeah.
The thing that I think we're noticing is people are looking for that experience, right? They can't go out to the pubs anymore, so they're looking for that. They're looking for their beer fix in a different way. And what we're trying to do is just put a lot of limited release stuff into the market.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
To try and give people that experience that they're craving. So we've sort of fast-tracked a few things and condensed and added to our limited release schedule somewhat. So, like it's been pretty frantic. We're just trying to ride this out as best as we can. We're being as fluid as we can, which, from a scheduling perspective and, trying to make everything actually happen on the brewery floor, it's tough. We just got to do everything that we can to just see this, weather this storm and get out the other side.
Yeah, I was chatting on a podcast this morning with a friend of mine over in Florida, and there was about seven or eight people on this podcast, and they asked me, "Are brewers over here still brewing?" And I was like, "Yeah. From what I understand, they're still brewing because, there's still beer being purchased." I mean, I believe that drinking numbers are kind of up. People are sort of elevating their drinking slightly across the country because obviously they've got to deal with their shits of children every single day because they're homeschooling and all that sort of stuff. The stress. No, I take the piss. But, so drinking, people are still drinking. So maybe while your brewery schedule might be slightly decreased, there's still brewing going on, and they're still planning for the future that, once we get out the other side of this thing, we don't want to have no beer coming out of your brewery, do we?
No, exactly. Yeah. And it's, we've definitely had reports and the very early signs were that, bottle shops were seeing, almost Christmas-like retail sales and stuff.
Good on you, Aussies.
It was like far out. so we better get brewing and keep this stuff up. It's definitely not easy, but, it's great that we work in an industry that's been deemed as essential services. So.
Correct.
Yes. And, I think that's the thing, we've got to just stick with it. It's hard, but at least we've still got something, and there'll be businesses out there that won't make it out the other side of this, which is awful.
And what about the greater WA craft beer scene? Has it been rough on everybody there, or maybe people rising to the challenge and innovating, that sort of thing?
Do you know the awesome thing about? I mean, I absolutely love the industry, and particularly in Western Australia. Like, it's when I joined it 10 years ago. It has changed, but the one thing that has stayed the same is that camaraderie. It's like nothing else I've ever experienced in a business setting. It's quite bizarre, but you know, I think there's a lot of shout outs. You know, I think people are really getting behind each other and trying to support each other where they can.
That's cool.
You know, the same way that they always have, really. It's just the, you know, there's a different common enemy, I guess, now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I've seen mixed brewery packs, you know, popping up over the social media of late. I've seen one from South Australia. There's one down here in Tassie. Marrickville had one via the Bucket Boys. Are you guys doing something similar over there perhaps?
Well, I just saw something come through from the West Australian Brewers Association today. They've been contacted by BWS to, see if we want to do something similar. So, yeah, hopefully we'll see. I think it was in Victoria where they did the communities.
Oh, Quarantinis, I think it was. Is that right?
Someone's put a great spin on two words there. Yeah. So I think BWS are looking to partner up with a bunch of West Australian breweries and do something similar
good
there.
Stuff.
So we'll
good
see
stuff.
We'll see what comes of that.
Yeah. So what about what's next after all this stuff is all done? Are you going to come out this summer with a big bang, with a slew of new beers and maybe another brand refresh for summer once it's all over?
I think we've locked down the brand for now. I think, but you know, never say never, right? I think, look, once we can start seeing some normality shift in back into the brewery, it will be full steam ahead on this this core range and really. Trying to push that, so I would expect. Yeah, look, I'm looking forward to a big end of the year. Get out the other side of this, and get really go for it.
Happy days, and maybe we might see a little bit more beer down in Tasmania, perhaps.
Yeah, hopefully. Like it was awesome. I actually got to pack up those pallets that went down to Tassie Way.
Nice.
I'll be honest and say I waved them off on the truck. I'm thinking to myself, God, I've got a long way to go.
They do take a while to get here. I must admit when I got my cans a month or so ago. Like the dates on them were probably a little bit longer than maybe, you know, what we might get from Victoria, but yeah. Mate, the beer was tasting great. I loved them. Yeah. That's when I was like, excellent. I've got to get you guys on this thing. So
it's news to a production brewer's ears. That is, you know, knowing that your beer is making it across the other part of the country in good shape. Yeah.
And I didn't realize till I started doing the research to have you on here that I'd drunk you before when I'd been in Western Australia. Somewhere anyway. I had drunk you before, but I didn't put the two and two together with the old and the new brand.
I didn't do that. They're pretty different.
Yes, they are. But look, I think you guys are onto a win. I think you're producing some great liquids. I really like the branding. I love the fact that you can look like you belong in the, you know, in the big change because the branding looks so impressive. And hopefully it might bring some of those less experienced drinkers in when they sort of see those bright colours. I think it's a really good idea. But I also love the fact that you've realised that, you know, it's okay to pivot. You can go in one direction. But if it doesn't, you know, completely work, it's okay to pivot. And I really like the idea with the East Coast, West Coast IPA you come up with. That's a ripper.
Yeah. We think we've got it in a really strong position with that one. So now we've just got to execute and deliver that, and enjoy it.
All right, mate. Well, I better let you go. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. I've got to go and get some dinner into me before I jump onto my Zoom boys night tonight.
Absolutely, it's been a pleasure, Chris. Really, mate,
fantastic
really great
chat. Thank you. Great stuff. All right. Thanks very much for your time. Cheers.
Thanks for listening. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you have an interesting beer story and want to be a guest on the Beer Healer interviews, send me a message via my Facebook page. And once again, if you want to help out the show, a simple rate and review on Apple Podcasts or a follow, like, or share on any other podcast service will do the trick. I'll catch you soon.